Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
Hello, you're listening to a special extra podcast looking back at all the glitz and glamour that was the BAFTA Awards ceremony. Who else could we send along to soak up the mood than our very own Mark Kermode? And he was keen to shower compliments on the night's leading lady.
Can I just say, incidentally, for the record, Helen Mirren looks fantastic.
I know she does.
No, I mean, absolutely fantastic. And there was one...
Do you love her?
Well, I mean... What I should have said to her is, you know, I worked for years on the reconstruction of Caligula, but it probably wasn't the moment to bring it up as she was just about to win the award for playing the Queen.
Yeah, in Caligula, that was quite raunchy, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
What does Helen Mirren do in Caligula?
Well, she marries...
What doesn't she do in Caligula?
Yes, I think that's the thing. She marries Malcolm McDowell. I mean, my great theory about Caligula was that it was always within that, you know, complete pornographic catastrophe that was finally handed in by Bob Guccione. There was, in fact, a tarred masterpiece struggling to get out, and I worked on this reconstruction of it, taking out all the ludicrous porno filth and turning it into just the movie that it was originally intended to be, with Malcolm McDowell and Helen Mirren and Peter O'Toole and John Gielgud and this brace of great British actors who somehow found themselves in the biggest sleaze fest of all time by mistake, but their performances are great and she's really good.
How can you find yourself in a sleaze fest
by mistake?
You've got to know. I mean, if you take part in an orgy...
The key point about Caligula is the filth doesn't involve the key players. The filth was plastered on afterwards by the man that produced the film, Bob Guccione, who, and here's the giveaway, owns Penthouse magazine. That really should have been when the alarm bells went off.
Okay. Anyway, enough of old Caligula. Dodgy porn, which you brought up for no apparent reason. The events last night, how did you make them? Obviously, Helen Mirren has got all the front pages as well as a lot of the inside pages as well. Last King of Scotland. And what do you think is the highlight that maybe needs to be picked out from that?
Well, I think
Mr. Greengrass, of course, our friend.
I was so pleased when Paul Greengrass won the award for Best Director. I was, you know, whooping and cheering, and I was really thrilled about it. Here's what I think's interesting. Sometimes you get award ceremonies in which a single film will like barricade its way through and win all the awards simply because that film is on a roll, and I don't think that's a very productive thing. What happened last night was that a lot of films won a few awards each. So the Queen, Best Film and Best Actress. I have no quibble with the Best Actress thing. As you know, I have a problem with the cinematic qualities or otherwise of the Queen, but I have been put straight on that.
So Helen hasn't changed your mind then?
No, but what she did do was you know, very intelligently and I'm sure correctly point out that I don't know what I'm talking about. And as I did say to her, well, Mom, critics can be wrong. But by that point, I was grovelling in such a low state that she probably didn't hear. Then you had, for example, a couple of other significant. Obviously, Pan's Labyrinth won three. Last King of Scotland won three. Casino Royale won one. It won for sound. But then Eva Green won the Orange Rising Star Award. And I think, because that's the public vote, I think you could safely say that the public were voting for Eva Green on the basis of Bond. Because can you name another Eva Green movie off the top of your head? I mean, I'd say, you know, she's worked with Bernardo Bertolucci, but I think that most people think of her as being the Bond girl.
Well, there's some Bertolucci films she was in.
Yeah, there were some Bertolucci films. Right. Yeah, but she didn't work with Louis Buñuel, and incidentally, how are you getting on with that box set? So I think that's really, technically, two wins for the Bond movie.
How do you judge best sound?
Really? Well, I mean, what you do is you ask a bunch of sound men and they judge what's best sound. It's one of the, you know, it's a great science. Sound design, I think, is what it officially comes under. Although, in other areas, it becomes sound editing. And that's really, really, that's a science unto itself. But so what happened was, across the key categories, you know, best film, The Queen, best actor, Last King of Scotland, Forest Whitaker, no surprise there, incidentally. And Peter Morgan, when he accepted his award, said rather wittily, he accepted the award for co-writing Last King of Scotland, and he said that apparently Idi Amin, in real life, had written letters to the Queen, suggesting that, in fact, he was the man, you know, for the job. And he said, if Forest Whitaker and Helen Mirren had some time free in their schedule, maybe they could get together for Edie and the Queen, the early years movie, which got a, you know, big round of applause. And then, of course, Paul Greengrass winning Best Director for United 93, and that was a really good call, because I don't think Stephen Frears winning Best Director for the Queen would have been right. Paul Greengrass did such a great direction of directing United 93. It's such a muscular movie. I genuinely was disappointed that that film wasn't in the in the best film category, but great to see him get up and receive the award. And he was clearly surprised and moved, and I think genuinely humbled. And then throughout the rest of the awards, there was this peculiar thing, you know, in 82, we had the Brits are coming at the Oscars. Well, this year it was the Mexicans are coming. I mean, wherever you looked, there was Mexicans doing really well. And the best acceptance speech consisted of the following: I don't speak English, gracias. And that's it. That was really good. And then Ricky Gervais came on and was, you know, his usual sort of larky, rudy self, and was ribbing Jonathan Ross, who was on particularly good behaviour. I mean, Jonathan Ross not going close to the wind at all, in fact playing it very, very straight.
Is that because of the internationalness of it all?
Well, you
and
know,
the people outside of this country might not that familiar with his work.
Well, that was the joke that Ricky Gervais made. He said, you know, at least when the Americans came over, they knew who Stephen Fry was. I think there's a couple of things that contribute to it. One of it may well be because Stephen Fry had become so renowned as really pushing the boundaries of what you could get away with in terms of the innuendo stakes.
I mean, it was great, though. It wasn't innuendo.
It was outright filth. Yes. I mean, at least one American producer is on record as saying, you know, the reason we come over here is to see what Stephen Fry can actually get away with. So it may well be you think, look, you can't top that. Let's go the other way. The other thing, I think, is the fact that it was the Royal Opera House. It was apparently a record-breakingly long red carpet. And when you're in the Royal Opera House, you feel like you got your posh shoes on. You know, it's not like being in a cinema in Leicester Square. It's the Royal Opera House. And I think part of it was a sort of, you know, we step up now. We become slightly more dignified. And I think that may have been part of what it was. One thing he did do is he did crack through the ceremony, because everyone was out on time. And I mean, last year was, you know, it sort of massively overran. So it really did, you know, keep it locked right down. And
there
did
seem to
job.
Be a sort of palpable disappointment at some of the people who couldn't be bothered to turn up.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a couple of things like that. I mean, Alan Arkin won for Best Supporting Actor for Little Miss Sunshine. I would have given Best Supporting Actor to Michael Sheen for his role in The Queen. I mean, I think that was a sadness, because I do think Michael Sheen is every bit as important as Helen Mirren in The Queen. And I think she would agree, although again, by that point, I was grovelling on the floor, so she probably didn't hear. Alan Arkin wasn't there, and then Jennifer Hudson won for Best Supporting Actress for Dreamgirls. But I think the reason that they may not have been there is I think they probably didn't expect to win. I mean, for Best Supporting Actress, I think a lot of people had Emily Blunt tab, because she was also down for a rising star. So, you know, there was two reasons that she was in the public eye. And but then Jennifer Hudson's performance in Dreamgirls is the standout thing about Dreamgirls.
This from Martin. Now, I'd imagine that this man sort of either takes all his opinions from you, or he just finds that he agrees with you.
Okay.
This is Martin P. Jackson in Cramlington. Can't quite believe the Queen won Best Film at the BAFTAs. It's not even a proper film, it's a piece of television. And Helen Mirren apart, a decidedly average piece of television. Thankfully, both Pan's Labyrinth and Children of Men were recognised, or it would have been an awful night.
Well, Pan's Labyrinth and Children of Men were recognised, and Babel, the only thing it won, you know, Babel, Babel, was the music award, which I'm sort of quite pleased about. But, you know, a number of things recognised over a number of different categories. Pirates of the Caribbean 2 won the Best Special Visual Effects. And actually, I'll forgive it for that, because I do think that although Pirates of the Caribbean 2 is rubbish, the squid face is actually rather good.
Nye,
and the Kraken's not bad, but, you know, the squid face is a good bit of digital engineering, so that's absolutely fun. I think that they were a pretty good selection. I was very pleased that Last King of Scotland did as well as it did. As I said, particularly pleased about the Paul Greengrass thing. I think that's absolutely terrific. But there is no doubt, I think, now that Helen Mirren is going to go on and win the Oscar.
Well, I was going to ask you how it tees up. Does it influence at all? Because presumably the Academy will have voted, won't it?
I don't know when the Academy voting finished. I mean, voting usually finishes fairly close to the actual, to the ceremony itself. I mean, obviously, I'm not an American Academy member. I'm a BAFTA member, but not American Academy member. So I don't know the answer to that. I mean, two Golden Globes, one for Queen Elizabeth I, one for Queen Elizabeth II, then the BAFTAs, it would put you in line for the Oscar. Then again, as we all know, as soon as anything's an absolute dead cert, it means it didn't happen. You know, we all remember the shock in Jack Nicholson's voice when he opened the envelope last year and said, Oscar for Best Film goes to Crash. And the people who made Crash nearly fell out of their chairs, because they were pretty much, you know, they knew that Brokeback Mountain was going to win. That was the end of that. But, you know, Mirren's performance is great. It is a really, really good performance, and I've never had any quibbles with that whatsoever. I just, as I've said before, and I, of course, you know, I may be wrong.
Excuse me?
You see, the difference is, when you say it, it doesn't in any way shake my faith in my absolute rightness on all matters. But when Helen Mirren says it to you, you think, all right, I might be wrong after all.
Better go and see it again. Alex says, watch the whole thing. It was utterly boring.
No, it wasn't.
I didn't watch it. I was watching 24, you see, which is quite pacey and exciting.
Is that a modern popular television programme?
Yeah.
Is it as good as Life on Mars?
It's up. It's the well. There's 24 of them as opposed to 8. Is it as good as Life on Mars? Yes.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yes.
In such an entertaining way.
Better.
Oh, really?
I think I'm going to
better than Life on Mars. That's hard. I mean, I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But Life on Mars, I think, is really good.
Okay. I think it's better than Life on Mars. Bring back Stephen Fry, says Alex. I kept hoping it would improve, and it didn't. How many times can Daniel Craig be referred to? Very poor, I thought. Right. So coming up this Friday, reviews for just teasers in case we need it.
Oh, there's the new Michel Gondry movie, The Science of Sleep. That's the biggie. You know Michel Gondry? You know Michel Gondry? And then you say yes, and then
yes.
I continue that.
Yes, I do. Sorry,
is
I
it was me? Am I playing to the stalls?
I've just got texts coming in.
You start having a conversation with me and you're reading something else. Michel Gondry, the guy who directed Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, he's a wild and crazy French filmmaker, comes out of background in pop videos and advertising, then made Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, now has made a new movie starring Gael Garcia Bernal that exists in at least 3 different languages and 2 different versions of reality, and it's called The Science of Sleep, and it will be reviewed in full on Friday.
This text, which I was just reading, just to...
Don't let me interrupt your text. Reading. You
get
carry
distracted.
On.
Well, there's all kinds of things I could be reading. Is The Queen a British film? If so, how can it win Best Film and not Best British Film?
Well, that's
on in Uxbridge.
No, there's a simple answer to that question. The Best Film category is voted for by the entire Academy membership. The Best British Film category is voted for by a jury. So the big categories, film, actor, I think director, supporting actor, those are voted for by everybody, and then the more specialist things are voted for by a selection of juries and different. So that's how it works out. That's the correct answer to that question, and I give myself 10 points.
Excellent. And you can come back on Friday and go now.
Thank you. Do I sound anything like Eartha Kitt in my sort of, you know, low gravelly radio voice, or is that just in my head?
It's just in your head.
Okay, great.
You
just
sound
to clear that up.
And look nothing like Eartha Kitt. You do look older than her, though.
You know, I don't have to take this from you because I can get this at home.